بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Welcome to the fifth class of the subject of the book is Woman by Mahdi Mahrizi. And we will begin the class in just a minute. First of all, just for anyone who wants to ask any questions, you can ask the questions as I give the class. You can write the questions in, and when you do write the questions in, I will be able to answer the questions at the end of the class. And obviously, by the way, I can see, you know, who has something else on their screen while I'm giving the class. So, inshallah, we will try to pay attention in the class. The book is by Mahdi Mahrizi. The subject of the book is Woman, and we were doing the first lesson in the class. Chapter 1, The Creation of Woman. From last week, the subject we discussed last week was that was the woman created for man? Meaning that many religions and many people of different beliefs say that the woman was created so that it could be pleasing for the man, and it was made for the man so that man can find peace and tranquility. And what we discussed from last week, we have reached the conclusion that man and woman have certain needs and deficiencies that can only be removed by the other. Meaning the man has deficiencies and the woman also has deficiencies. And in order for these deficiencies to be removed, they need one another. So both man and the woman need each other to find fulfillment and peace. So both man and woman were created for completing the other. So it wasn't that the woman was created for the man, or the man was created for the woman only, but rather both of them were created for each other in order that they may fulfill and complete one another. Let's move on. When we had discussed at the beginning of the chapter, in starting the chapter, we had raised 6 questions. Let us see where we are at this stage. 6 questions were raised. Out of the one, how was the creation of woman, which was the first one, we have answered. We had went through the ayat of the Quran and the verses of the Quran that speak about the creation of human beings, and had reached the conclusion that when Allah speaks about human beings, He speaks about both man and woman in relationship to that. Now, we come to the second question, which you see on the list. And that question is, how does the Quran introduce the faculties of man and woman? Second question, how are the faculties and talents of women introduced by Islam? Let's explain that in detail. The same question that we are reading so that we understand what we are going to answer. What were the abilities and the faculties given to women? Did men get more abilities and talents than women? Is there a distinction between what was given to men and what was given to women? Or are their abilities and faculties the same? So the essence of the question is that these faculties and these abilities that we have as men and women, do we have the same abilities, the same faculties, the same talents, and the same gifts that we are blessed with? Or is there a difference between what men have and what women have? This is where we need to answer the question, and this is obviously concerning the creation of woman. Key point here, when we are going to read the ayat of the Quran, one thing to remember, and that we had discussed previously, is that when the Quran addresses the issue of faculties, talents, and abilities of man, it refers to the human being as having these capabilities. Then whenever the Quran speaks, it doesn't speak about man or woman, it speaks about human beings, it speaks about insan. Since insan or human refers to both man and woman equally, so the faculties and abilities spoken of are also referring to both men and women equally. So when we read the Quran, the way we're going to read the Quran is that whenever it speaks about insan and whatever Allah gave to insan applies both to men and women. Let's look at some of these verses. Let's analyze these verses and see where in the Quran does Allah speak about these talents and abilities and capabilities that He has given to man. And from there we will understand the different things that both men and women have received. First, we start off in Surah Hijr. In Surah Hijr, we start off and we see where Allah speaks about the Divine Spirit, meaning the Ruh that Allah has blown into man. He says, فَإِذَا سَوَّيْتُهُ وَنَفَخْتُ فِيهِ مِنْ رُوحِي فَقَعُوا لَهُ سَاجِدِينَ. So when I have made him complete and breathed into him my spirit, fall down making obeisance to him. So here, when Allah speaks about breathing into him of my spirit, meaning the ruh that Allah blew into the structure of Adam. Now Adam represents mankind. He represents human being or insaniyat. Maqame insaniyat, meaning the position and rank of insan. So when Adam represents the rank of insan, so Bani Adam, the children of Adam, all are included in that. And hence when we speak about the Divine Spirit, then insan has that Divine Spirit that Allah has blown into him. And through that Divine Spirit, he has that spiritual inclination towards his Master and towards his Creator. And this is that Ruh that is inside of us, that calls out to us, that voices out to us whenever we do something wrong and tells us not to do it. This is that Ruh that gives us that initial inclination towards the love of our Creator. That Ruh that He breathed into us, and the ability that we have from that Ruh being breathed into us, the potential we have of achieving Kamal and perfection to the extent that Allah has allowed human beings to achieve. So this is something that when Allah speaks about this Ruh being breathed into Adam, it is referring to insan as a whole. Number two, let's go to the second one, which is in Surah Al-Infitar, verse number 6 and 7. Allah speaks about the making and fashioning of human beings, how He made them and how He fashioned them. He says, Ya ayyuhal insan. He's referring to insan. Now obviously the translation says, O man. But insan refers to everyone who is human being, meaning both men and women. مَا غَرَّكَ بِرَبِّكَ الْكَرِيمِ. What has beguiled you from your Lord? What has made you deceive from your Lord? الَّذِي خَلَقَكَ. Who has created you? فَسَوَّاكَ. And He has fashioned you. فَعَدَلَكَ. And then made you justly proportioned. Meaning that when He made you, first it was your creation. Then He shaped you and He fashioned you the way He liked you, the way He liked it. And then He made you justly proportioned, meaning everything is justly put in the right place. So your proportion and the way that you have been shaped is so symmetrical that it that everything is in the right place where it's supposed to be in the best manner. This is the making of a human being. And Allah speaks about insan here, that this is one of the gifts that He gave them, that He fashioned them and He made them into the best form. And He speaks of it in another verse, as we see, in Surah 13, verse number 4. Allah made the human beings made in the best manner. It says, لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ تَقْوِيمٍ. Surely we have created man in the best make. Ahsan means the best, and taqweem is the make. You know, how you manufacture something. This is the structure, the best structure that could be made for any creation. He has made you in that form, the best form that you can imagine or that you can look towards. This creation of man in our human beings in the best form applies to insan, and hence applies to both men and women. This is one of the things that Allah has given. Then in Surah Sajda, verse number 9, He speaks about the senses that He gave to human beings. And He uses the plural to define these senses. He says, وَجَعَلَ لَكُمُ السَّمْعَ وَالْأَبْصَارَ وَالْأَفْئِدَ. He has made for you the ears and the eyes and the heart. Here, the faculties of listening, the faculty of seeing, and the faculty of feeling. Three of the most important faculties that we have. And these are input faculties. You know, this is where the knowledge goes in. This is the faculty that human beings have to which they gain knowledge, to which they gain recognition, to which they gain and acquire things. This is the hearing, the sight, and the feeling in the heart. The heart is the seat of understanding and ma'rifah. So here, when we look at this, this is when Allah speaks of it, He speaks in the plural. Lakum means for all of you. He has made for all of you the ears, the eyes, and the heart. And these are things by which you can recognize and by which you can be cognizant and acquire knowledge and ma'rifah and recognition. Surah Rum, verse number 30. Here Allah speaks about the divine nature that we have. He says, فَأَقِمْ وَجْهَكَ لِلدِّينِ حَنِيفًا. And set your face upright for the religion in the right state. What is that? He says, فِطْرَةَ اللَّهِ الَّتِي فَطَرَ النَّاسَ عَلَيْهَا. فِطْرَةَ اللَّهِ, the nature of Allah, meaning Allah's nature, الَّتِي فَطَرَ النَّاسَ عَلَيْهَا, which He has made man walk upon. So this fitrat is this divine nature, this godly divine nature that He has made the people. When He says annas, again, you look at the translation, men obviously in the sense of human beings. Nas refers to people. He has made the people on the same nature that Allah has. So that because of this nature that we had, this fitrat that we have, that inclination and that tendency to worship Allah, to know what is right and wrong, to be closer and gain closeness to what is the truth, is inside of us. It is this fitrah that is the first calling towards Tawheed and Allah's recognition. And this gift and this faculty is in people, and by people it is both men and women. all of them have this faculty inside of them, this divine nature. Moral conscience in Surah Shams, where Allah squares the nafs. He says, wa nafsin wa ma sawaha, and the soul, I swear by the soul and him who made it perfect, who made it just right. Then he says, فَأَلْهَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَهَا, and he inspired into it, meaning the nafs, meaning our soul, ourselves. He inspired into us what? The understanding of what is right and what is wrong for it. Meaning, what is right for it, what is wrong for it, he put that inside of us. So that we know the difference between right and wrong without having to be told or having to search for the truth. Instead of that, Allah put that mechanism inside of us. It's a defense system that we have that tells us when we are doing wrong that this is something wrong that we are doing. And this teaching of this right and wrong to the soul is the reason why even in an immoral society, in a society that downplays morals, still there are standards. There are certain moral standards by which they go by. Because in essence, this teaching of right and wrong to the self, to the nafs, is what prevents us from self-annihilation and self-destruction. Otherwise, if we did not have this teaching, then we would be driving towards self-destruction and there would be no recourse or stoppage to such emotion. But what stops us from self-annihilating or doing things completely immorally or losing all bounds of morality is the fact that we have this teaching of right and wrong within our own self. What is good for us, what is bad for us is taught to us by Allah. And because of this defense system, it prevents human beings from going into a complete abyss of immorality. And such is the case that you see that even in places like, for example, where there are no like moral values, or for example, there are very little moral values, you see they have certain codes by which they abide by. And that code itself is showing that this is the voice that's calling out to them and saying, don't go there, you're going to kill yourself, you're going to be destroyed. And hence it is that mechanism inside of us that tells us that we should not go into self-annihilation. This is فَأَلْهَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَاهَا, that he has inspired in the nafs the it's what is right for it and what is wrong for it. Then we come to the issue of bearing the trust. Allah, he speaks about the free will and choice that we have and says, Inna aradna al-amanata ala samawati wal-ardi wal-jibal. Surely we have offered the trust. We had offered the trust to the heavens and the earth and the mountains. فَأَبَيْنَا أَن يَحْمِلْنَهَا, but they refused to accept it. And they were afraid of it. وَأَشْتَقْنَا مِنْهَا, they were afraid of it. وَحَمَلَهَا الْإِنسَانِ, but man accepted it, he bore it. So insan bore the trust. Now what is that trust? What is the amanat that Allah is speaking about here? There are many explanations of that by ulama. In short, what it is the free will that we have in order to obey Allah and establish His deen and cause through our own choice. In short, this is what it is, but there are many other explanations in regards to that. So when we made that choice of having free will, this free will that we have, this choice that we have, it is not just for men, it is for women, it is for all of insan. Wow, hamalaha al-insan. Insan is the one that bore it. So both men and women are the ones who bore that trust. So this is, this trust is what weighs down upon us and makes us accountable for our actions. Allah, when he says this, وَحَمَلَ الْإِنسَانَ, that we took the trust, then obviously Allah did not have to do anything to provide us any more guidance other than this. But it is out of His mercy that in spite of us accepting this trust, where the heavens and the earth refused it because they were afraid they couldn't handle it, we accepted it. And so by us accepting it, Allah did not have to provide any more things. He can still hold us accountable. But it is through His grace, His complete grace, that in spite of us accepting it, He gave us moral conscience. He gave us enough that understands right and wrong. He gave us a divine spirit. He gave us the prophet. He sent prophets and imams. He gave us books and messages. All of this work was done when He didn't have to do that, because we accepted this trust from Him. But this is His grace and His mercy by which He did all of these things in order to protect us even after we made a wrong decision. Then Allah, He says about making everything subservient to human beings. Everything that we see around us, He made it subservient to human beings. وَسَخَّرَ لَكُمْ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ جَمِيعًا. In Surah number 45, Jafia, verse number 23, He says, and He has made subservient to you whatsoever is in the heavens and whatsoever is in the earth. So for you, everything is under your control, meaning He made it subservient to you inside. Obviously, this has one a physical meaning and the other one it has a spiritual meaning. When we say sakhara lakum, He has made subservient to you. So on the level that we are, we see that all of these things around us in the earth, we use for our benefit. That is a physical thing that we use them and we take care of, you know, like we use them, we take advantage of them and benefit from them. All animals and all plants are subservient to us in the real sense of the word also. Meaning that the animals must listen to us. If we tell an animal to do something, they should listen to us. If you tell the plants to move, the plants should move. But the issue is that when we tell the animals to do something, or when we tell the plants to move, the problem is that they don't look at us as human beings. They don't see us as human beings. They look at us as, who are you to tell us? You are not a Khalifa. You don't look like a Khalifa. If you truly were a human being, if you had achieved the position and the rank of a human being, the same human being that Allah had made the heavens and the angels prostrate before, then yes, we will listen to you. We have to listen to you. You are a Khalifa. You are the representative of Allah on earth. We listen to you. This is the reason why you see the, like for example, not miracles, but many instances where the Prophet and the Imams talked to animals, spoke with animals, and the animals did what the Imam said. It's because of the fact that they recognize them as human beings and that Allah has made them subservient to human beings. Right? And when people are not human beings, then they don't recognize us as such. We are different. We have, as Allah says, bal adallu sabila, we have become worse than the animals. So why would they listen to us? But the fact is that Allah has made this potential in human beings, in man and woman, that they can reach the status of insan and reach the potential that Allah has made them to reach. And then He has made everything in the heavens and the earth subservient. Education for humans. Here you see that expression and language was made for human beings. And Allah, He taught that human being. He says, Ar-Rahman, Allama al-Qur'an, the beneficent, Allah, taught the Quran. خلق الإنسان, He created man. علمه البيان, and taught him the mode of expression. Meaning He taught him how to express himself in that regard. So now when we look at this, here it is clear that this is speaking about insan. He created man and he taught him bayan, meaning the mode of expression, of expressing himself. So this was taught to man, and hence both this gift was given to insan and as such given to men and women. Then Allah speaks about knowledge for humans in Surah 96, in Surah Allah, verses 4 and 5. الَّذِي أَلَّمَ بِالْقَلَمْ أَلَّمَ الْإِنسَانَ مَعْلَمْ يَعْلَمْ. Who taught, Allah it is, who taught to write with the pen, and He taught man what he knew not. So insan, whatever he did not know, Allah taught him that. So this teaching, this knowledge, this education was for human beings. It was for human beings that they learn it and that they may gain advantage of it and utilize it for their own benefit. So this was given to insan. Now, after all of this, when we look at different ayat, in all these verses, Allah refers to insan, human beings, or He refers to in the plural, to include everyone. All of you insan, all of you people, all of you human beings. He refers in all of these verses, wherever He's mentioning regarding faculties and abilities that He has given mankind, He's referring it to as mankind, or He's referring to as plural, in order to describe the different faculties and abilities that He has given. So He uses the term insan, He uses the term all of you, He uses the term people in order to describe these different faculties and abilities that He has given. So when we look at all these verses and go through all these verses and we see this is the case, so then what happens? As insan or human being refers to both man and woman, because insan refers to both man and woman, both of them are included in that umbrella. Hence, all the faculties given by Allah are given to both man and woman equally. So all of these faculties that we went through, whether it's the divine spirit of Allah, whether it's the moral conscience, whether it's the divine nature, whether it's education, whether it's the trust that we took, whether it's the hearing and the sight and the feeling, all of these faculties and all of these talents that human beings have, both men and women have that equally. And hence they take advantage of that and they gain benefit from that equally. So both of them have all of these characteristics. Conclusion. All human beings share the same abilities and faculties that Allah has given them. The question of gender does not arise in this area. This is important to understand, that all the abilities and faculties meant for human beings are meant for both men and women equally, and hence the question of gender doesn't arise in the arena of abilities and faculties, because both of them have been given this in order that they may find the truth, in order that they may accept the truth, in order that they may submit to the truth, in order that they may gain perfection and reach the potential that Allah has meant for them. So this is the conclusion of the lesson for today. If you have any questions, there's one question that I see. Let me go to the question right now. And I will be answering questions. The question is, this defense system or moral conscience in one's fitrah, the fitrah informs our nafs. I'm going to, this is from Sister Amy, so what I'm going to do, right, the question I'm You're saying that it informs our nafs. Well, here it is, right? The nafs itself. The nafs itself is the seed of our knowledge, our feelings, and the good and the bad. The nafs can go upwards, the nafs can go downwards. If I'm understanding the question correctly, so let me just answer you this way, that this like defense system, that what Allah means by it, is the fact that this is an inner voice that Allah has put in us to know our boundaries, to know that if you cross this line, then it will be destructive for you. This is that defense system that He has put there in order that we are able to stop our decline. That our if we are on a decline, if we are going downwards, yeah, then there is that thing inside of us that stops us somewhere and tells us, listen, don't do this, you're going to hurt yourself. And this is the reason why, for example, you see in the most immoral places, them having rules by which they can hold back from actually going into an abyss. You go to any place, wherever example you want to give, clubs you want to give, nightclubs you want to give, any sort of environment, you see that they have certain rules that they will put into place. Why? Because of the fact that complete immorality leads to self-destruction and self-annihilation. And in our nature does not permit that. And because our nature doesn't permit that, human beings will set some standards for themselves in order that they don't self-annihilate and destroy themselves. Okay, the question is fitrah and moral conscience the same thing? No, actually it's not the same thing. Fitrah, right, or what we call nature, divine nature, that Allah He speaks about in the verse, وَفِطْرَةَ اللَّهَ الَّتِي فَطَرَ النَّاسَ عَلَيْهَا. This fitrah, and let me go back to that verse so that you can see it more clearly. Inshallah. Here it is. Sorry, this one. When Allah says this, right, the nature made by Allah in which He has made man, this nature actually refers to the promises that we made to Allah. That before we came to earth, we made promises to Allah. Allah refers to these promises in like Surah Yasin, where He says, Alam ahad ilaykum ya bani Adam an la ta'budu shaytan innahu lakum aduwwum mubin wa an i'buduni hadha siratun mustaqim. That did we not take an oath from you, O children of Adam, that you will not obey shaitan, that he is your open enemy, and that you will obey me, and this is the straight path. So here, when we look at these verses, it's explaining this verse of fitrah, right? He made the fitrah of what? He made those promises, and those effects of those promises are felt by us in our own self, that nature that he has. This is one. The second thing is that in the making, in the rule that Allah has put into us, the rule that Allah He put into us, He put that divine nature into us. He made us with two things. If you remember the creation of Allah, He made us with two things. What did He make us by? He made us with mud, black mud that we had just read, mud, and He made us with the rule. He put these two things together, and out of which came insan, out of which came man, human beings. So because He made us with two things, one is mud and one is the ruh. In other words, He made us with the most lowest thing, He made us with the greatest thing. He put the greatest thing together with the lowest thing, mixed it up, and made insan out of air. And hence, this ruh that He put in, which is, you can say, the greatest thing, because of the fact that this is the rule of Allah He put into us, that is giving us this inclination to go back to our creator and our master. That is nature. Now when we speak about moral conscience, the moral conscience is the teachings or the inspiration that Allah gave to our nafs. Meaning our nafs, it taught us what is right and wrong. So in other words, in short, I'll just say that fitrah is that which Allah, which makes us inclined towards Allah. Fitrah or nature is that which makes us inclined towards Tawheed. And moral conscience is that which puts limits on us so that we do not go or we don't, it's a defense system in us which prevents us from going too much wrong and too much astray. If souls are genderless, will they be raised genderless and then be placed again in the bodies of men and women on the day of judgment? Okay. That is the question. If the souls are genderless, then will they be placed in the bodies of men and women? No, they will not be placed in the bodies of men and women. Because souls do not have gender. The reason, the purpose of gender was procreation. There is no procreation in heaven. And hence, because of that, we will have bodies. We will have bodies, but they will be genderless bodies. Now, the other question that will come out of that, and I will answer that too, because of the fact that we are not going back and forth with the question, is the fact that, well, how about pleasure? You see, Allah put the pleasure, you know, He put pleasure in the opposite gender. He put attraction in the opposite gender and in certain things. So now, it is He who put the pleasure there. Now, the same pleasure Allah will give to us without having to do those certain things and without having the opposite gender. He will give us the same pleasure. That's why He mentions Hurul Een. Hurul Een are mates. He describes those mates in order that we can understand and comprehend what they are according to our own apple, but what they are actually we don't know. And all we know is that they will be mates. Now, mates are going to be, that pleasure is not from the pleasure that we have or the means by which we seek in, that we gain in this dunya or in this world. How Allah asks us when we are not born? Yes. You see, here's the thing. How did Allah ask us when we are not born? You see, birth in this dunya is just the rule coming into the physical, being. Meaning, for example, our body. Allah puts the rule in the body here, and hence we are born here. We are given birth here. But the rule existed before this. The rule existed before this, and it will exist after we die. Just like it will exist after we die, it has existed before we came here. And hence, it is the rule that is our real self, not the body. That's why when, for example, when we refer to our body, we don't say me. We say my body, my hand. You see, my hand is different than me. My body is different than me. My eyes are different than me. Why? Because this eyes, these body, this hand, these feet are not us. We are different than our body. That's why we don't refer to these as me. Me is something else. And that is our root. That is our soul. That is us. And hence we came here, we occupy this body. When we leave here, we will leave this body and there will be a body that Allah will give us in heaven, inshallah. Next question. The next question is, in Jannah, men will have hoor. What about women? What will they get? Again, the same thing. I just answered that. You see, being men and women ceases to exist in this world. When you die, neither are you a man nor a woman. You are just a soul, and the soul has no gender. So when you leave this body, when you leave here, you will cease to be a man and a woman. The man, the purpose of being gender or having a gender is only for procreation. And hence when you leave here, it will be different. So the who is meant for both, man and woman, meaning at that time it will be just insan. So insan will get who. Insan will have these mates called who. Right? Insan will have that, and not men. So inshallah, we will end the class over here, and I thank you again. We will again meet each other next time. Next Tuesday, inshallah, we will have the class again. We'll go on with this class, and I thank you for everyone for coming. And soon, just be ready, we will have a test very soon, inshallah. And hopefully next week we'll have a pop quiz. With that, inshallah, I will end this class over here. And I ask Allah to bless all of you. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.